a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Earl Bailey's going to join us coming up here in a moment. Hans and Scotty, just past 1 o'clock here on the Zone Sports Network. You know, trying to do this like soda thing and, you know, watch what you eat, man.
Yeah.
I just kill a burger right now. It's the big old... I'm already in a bad mood. Lloyd's playing weird country music.
Like what?
I had a rough weekend. Just like, I just...
You know, I know we don't like
do you,
it.
Are you an emotional eater? Because, like, I'm...
Oh, yeah.
Because I, like, you
yeah,
know...
sure.
Because things aren't going away. I'm like, give me a burger.
Yeah.
Terse root.
So, I know we don't like to endorse things that don't pay, but where would you go?
Oh. Oh, that's...
Like, if you could just...
I don't know. Like, now I think it's kind of, like, in fashion to hate on this place, but I'm telling you, like, you just give me a double-double animal style, and I'm a happy man right there.
Well, it's in fashion for some. It's not in fashion for me.
To hate on it?
Yeah.
Well, that's because the local ones haven't been that good.
Well,
but I'll tell you what, I had it a couple weeks ago.
Like, honestly, like, there's nothing, like, you go on that In-N-Out off of Tropicana there in Vegas, because that's where I was always used to. That was the place where you'd go to get one.
Yeah,
I guess there was one in St. George, but, you know. But before, like, if you wanted in and out, you were in Vegas, and it's just like, okay, everything's right in the world.
Feels now, like they pound out their patties a little bit thin.
Yeah. Now, their fries, yeah, I'll admit, the fries aren't good. Fries need to be better.
I like the fries.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I do.
I think you're the only person I've ever talked to that likes the In-N-Out fries.
Inside 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a pretty quick shelf life.
Yep. You got five
That's
minutes.
Why I always get the animal style on top of the fries.
Yeah, that's good. Melted cheese,
you
grilled
your,
onion.
But, yeah.
A little bit of their magic sauce.
But, yeah, no, just double-double animal style, no tomatoes, no lettuce. There you go.
You need two of those.
Two double-double?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done two double-doubles
before.
Oh,
if you go double-doubles without fries and no lettuce, no tomato, you're going to need two to get you where you need to be, to get you to that place, you know.
The happy place.
Hey, I'm not hate that, man. That's a fantastic burger.
Yeah. No, you know,
so you wouldn't do like a classic restaurant burger, like a sit down Chili's burger or
no,
something.
No, cuz I kind of like those, and I know there's a place called this, but like I like a thin patty. Like, I would rather have multiple, I know this sounds really weird. I'd rather have multiple thin patties than a big old thick burger. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The patty's really important to me. The bun is actually more important because it
yes.
can add or take away from the patty.
100%.
So if you've got bad buns out there, figure it out.
Yep.
Your bun's got to be better.
Stop it. All right. So Thurl Bailey is like the picture of good health. I don't assume Thurl is just cranking out
an
eating burgers.
Eater.
Yeah. Did he really? All right, Thurl Bailey, kind enough to join us right now. Big T, like, you seem like a guy that is like the most responsible eater on the planet. But do you get a, you know, you get sideways with a burger every now and then?
I'm in the drive-thru at Sonic right now, brother.
Yeah!
Hey,
that's why we
love
you.
My buns are just fine.
This is the best, man. This is why we love you, Big T, because you're real. You're not,
hey.
You know, and so I know you're still young, but that metabolism holds like it does, or do you just work out like a beast?
No, I work out. Listen, I've got a bunch of kids that I work out every day. I don't play anymore, you know, because everybody wants to go home with a story against Big T. I don't even get on the court anymore. But I have kids that I train up in Lehigh, and I try to get in the gym, you know, three or four times a week. Listen, I'm married young, bro, so I gotta stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my wife doesn't want anybody walking around with, you know, butt crack and a gut. So I gotta do my thing.
Hey. I love it.
Sorry.
It's speaking truth right there.
Such a dose of reality.
Well,
hey, you were talking about this training in Lehigh. I know that you're gonna be running some camps. Does that have to do with these camps that you've got going?
Yeah, I've got a series of camps coming up. The first one's coming up here, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's an all-girls camp. It's a three-day all-girls camp at Karl Malone Center in Lehigh, and we've got two-time Olympian and two-time WNBA All-Star Ruthie Bolton coming for the girls. So they can go to BigTBailey.com for that. And the next one's around Father's Day, 14th, 15th, and 16th of June. Me and my son Brendan are putting on a father and kids camp, and Jimmer Fredette's coming to help us out.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's going to be fun. And then the last one is in July, late July. It is a shooting camp. Colin, you guys, there's a guy who is probably the foremost shooting coach that trains a lot of pro players. He and I are teaming up in July to do a 3-day all shooting, but shooting.
Oh, Colin Terry. Yeah, absolutely.
Colin Terry, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good get for you guys. That's a hell of a camp right there.
And this is this is just there at the Karl Malone Training Center, huh, in Lehigh?
Karl Malone Center in Lehigh, yep. And be busy all summer.
Yeah, that's
go to BigTBaileyBasketball.com. I think that's the best place to go to register, isn't it?
That it is. Yeah, best place to go to register, BigTBaileyBasketball.com. There's a phone number on there with any questions. But, yeah, you guys need to come. You know, you want to come over and let me see your jump shot. I might be able to help you out.
Oh, man.
You know, there's
– I'll come hit some Sonic Burger with you.
Well, yeah, we'll hit Sonic with you all day. You know, what's that old adage, like that shot, once you get past – you know, the coaches say you get past a certain age – and there's nothing to fix that shot. I don't know if it's like 16, 17 or something like that.
Well, if you got it, you never lose it unless you never had it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Okay.
Hey, all right. So about, 10 days ago, Phoenix is up 2-0 against Dallas, and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, this Maverick team that just worked over the Jazz, these guys are done. Phoenix is going to win this thing in 4 and 5, and they're going to move on, and they might win the whole thing. And a week and a half later, Phoenix is done. DeAndre Ayton's in all kinds of a weird spot with the team, and the Mavericks are puffing out their chest going to the Western Conference Finals. What happened here?
It's crazy, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
You know, that's just the sport. Because I had Phoenix rolling. I thought that this was going to be their best game, and the bottom just fell out. And you got to give, you know, Dallas credit for that. They figured something out defensively, or whether Phoenix just peaked. But really, it's anybody's championship, man. It's you know, it's interesting to see, and you know, I don't feel too bad now about the Jazz bowing out, because Dallas is just finding some crazy momentum with what they've got, and they figured it out.
Big T, there's something special about Luka Doncic, and I know you got an up close and personal look at him in the postseason against the Jazz. Give me two or three attributes that are unique to Luka that make him one of the top three, maybe top five players in the NBA right now.
Well, I would say, you know, I've called him this before, and I've heard it before as well. I call the guy basketball savant because he has total control over the game. He has total control when he has the ball, and he knows what he wants to do, and if it isn't available, he figures it out. So you know, he's such an amazing player, and that has to stem from, you know, his ability in his upbringing with his size as well. He's not that fleet of foot, but he's so smart with his size and what he's able to do with it that he's been able to figure out what kind of player he wants to be, and at an early age. And so when you look at any of these other arenas, or, you know, whether it's business or music, there's always those players that come along that are just special. And he is one of those guys. I think his biggest attribute is the fact that he will not be sped up, right? And he can get his shot off any time he wants. Rarely is his shot ever blocked. And he possesses the skills, you know, of a point guard that, you know, he's able to make his team better as well, and know when he has to get his. So, and you know, he's got some swagger to him, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those players that has earned it, and like it or not, he's a future Hall of Famer.
Well, and I think sometimes that might frustrate some people watching him play, but he seems like a kind of guy that you hate him when you're playing against him, but boy, do you love him when he's on your team.
Yeah, no question about it, and you've got to give him, you know, all the credit that's due. I mean, he's taken that Dallas Mavericks organization after the Dirk Nowitzki era into a new era. It was interesting watching that video of him and Dirk Nowitzki giving each other some love. You know, I think he's even going to make a bigger mark for the organization if he's able to stay there as long as Dirk did.
So how does this Dallas-Golden State Warriors series go?
Hey, that's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it depends. It's interesting, but I think it depends on Clay. You know, I think Clay is almost back to the Clay. Maybe he'll never get exactly be that Clay, but he's starting to feel it now. And I could be wrong. It could be up to Draymond, because he's either very bad or he's making his team better. So I know everybody's saying, well, isn't it up to Steph? Steph's going to do what Steph does. And so obviously the weight is on his shoulders, and the three-point shot is going to be really important for them. But I can tell you right now that one of their biggest assets this far is Looney.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he has just embraced who he is and has flourished with it. But it's going to be a great series. You know, two different really type of ball teams. I think the similarities come probably when Luka's on the bench and Brunson and Dinwiddie and those guys play faster. But both teams are good defensively. So it could be seven again.
How impressed were you to see Boston go into Milwaukee, get a win in Game 6, and then win it in Game 7? I got to think, once you win Game 6 on the road, you feel really good about yourself coming back for Game 7.
Yeah, I mean, that was really impressive. I actually had Milwaukee winning that series. Of course, you know, with the injuries, Giannis Antetokounmpo couldn't do it all by himself. But, I mean, Boston is another one of those teams that, you know, you're able to get your guys who a lot of people don't expect to have big games. You get them around their marquee players, and that's what happens. So, again, that's why I think it's anybody's championship, because, you know, you've got teams that are really – starting to gel at the right time, and it's going to be fun to watch.
So we were just talking about this Dallas Phoenix series that obviously ended in blowout fashion, and everybody wants to criticize Chris Paul because he kind of disappeared in the final four games of that series, or four of the five. And he's now 3-5 in game sevens in his career. He's lost five game sevens, and he had a two game lead in the last two series that he got bumped out. And people want to be critical of Chris Paul, but in your assessment, I get it. You know, he's not the only guy on the court, but in your assessment, where does Chris Paul sit in the pantheon of all-time great point guards?
Oh, he's up there. There's no question. There's no question. And he's still effective. Obviously, you know, you don't judge Chris Paul on that one game, especially if you've been on the bandwagon for the other, for the total season and into that seventh game. But there's no question that he's going to go down as one of the greatest point guards ever. And just the dynamics of that team with Booker, I mean, he's the one that made Booker better. And Booker, you know, he didn't come through as well. I think he had 2 points going into mm-hmm. into the second quarter. But, you've got to give the other team some credit for that happening. But you can't put all that on Chris Paul's shoulders. He's a great point guard. He's got and you know, kind of like fine wine, he finds a way to get it done. He finds a way to be effective. And even though you know where he's going, he's got that one spot there on the right in that mid-range, he's going to get there. But I think I read somewhere where he said we'll be right back here next year. I don't doubt it.
Could you take John Stockton and put him in this day and age in the NBA and have him be successful? And conversely, could you take Chris Paul back into the 80s and have him be as successful as he is now?
Yeah, no question. I have to think about that because, one, because of the position, right? That point guard position and really entitles you to kind of develop and decide. I think the thing that John would have to do that he started to do more towards the end of his career is to be more of a shooter, right? Is to understand and be a scoring point guard. Instead of being a facilitator first point guard, you can do both and still be really good. And John would have no issues doing that. And Chris Paul, obviously, he's got a throwback game anyway.
Yeah.
Right? No hurry, pick you apart, get where he wants to get, he's got the search dribble. Those kind of point guards can play in any era. I mean, you can go forward if you want. Those guys will still be relevant.
Big T, as we watch things kind of unfold here in the offseason for the Utah Jazz, do you believe that we will see Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and Quinn Snyder back together in this upcoming season?
Personally, even without knowing anything, and maybe part of it's hope, but yeah, I do believe it. I believe it because, you know, this team, man, I mean, you've got a core of a team here, and let's just talk about those two guys. And people are talking about their relationship. I mean, I really believe that it's so overblown. I mean, these two guys want the same thing, right? They may have had some. I mean, it's like any family. You have some disagreements. You talk it out. You have the same goal. But I think what needs to happen is that group that's built behind those two needs to be. You know what? And I don't know. I could tell you from my point of view what I think that the Jazz need, maybe to give a guy like Donovan Mitchell a little bit of ease, because he can't go the whole season playing point guard and being a facilitator and the scorer. He's got to have some relief there. But I truly believe that both of them will be back with Quinn.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I read a story. I think it was in The Athletic earlier today about. What, you know, obviously what the Clippers did to the Jazz last year in the playoffs and this evolution of this five out small ball and now it's, you know, Dallas has really ratcheted up to another level, not only beating the Jazz, but then, you know, getting the win in this previous series. Is this the way you feel like the league is heading in that regard?
Well, I think what you're asking is Rudy Gobert relevant in today's game?
Yeah, it's a roundabout way of getting to that question. Yeah,
he is. He is, and I know people don't like, you know, people who look at the game differently, maybe analytical guys, look at the numbers and look at what other teams are doing. I really believe that when you have a guy who is as good defensively as Rudy is, yeah, there are going to be some, you know, some weaknesses or Achilles heels, if you will, because the game is moved out and it's smaller and it's but the things that Rudy, you know, I see it, and you can't measure it, and Rudy talked about it, talked about dissuasion, right? Guys who don't even attempt to go in there because he's there. I just think that if you can be a really good defensive team, with a guy like that, and then find a way to integrate him with what you do on the offensive end. And you have the ability to play small when you need to. I think that team is that much more valuable. So I don't think Rudy is irrelevant to the game. I don't think he ever will be, a guy like that, because, one, he's not just big and tall and a great defender. He's found a way off a screen assist or dive into the basket to draw attention. Now, if he wasn't a threat, yeah, I'd say, the Jazz will have to rethink it. But the guy is a total threat on both ends of the court.
Do you feel like Mike Conley still has a lot in the tank?
You know, all I can do is put myself in Mike Conley's shoes at that stage of his career, and I think a lot of it depends on what you're asking of him, what you're asking from him. The guy can still play. There's no question about it. He wasn't the only one that didn't have great numbers, or probably the numbers that the expectations had for him. But, yeah, I think Mike Conley's still relevant. You know, similar to how Chris Paul is, Mike Conley has a lot of those capabilities as well. And part of that would depend on what he feels and how he feels about where he is right now in his career.
Thurl Bailey joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. So you go with the burger, the shake. What do you hit there at Sonic?
I got the burger, man, but, you know, tater tots are always good.
Yeah, can't go wrong with those. You know,
they've got good tots.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with those. I picked up a little slushy for my wife, so I'm going to drop that off right now, and then I'm going to work out.
There you go.
Hey, I saw that you sent out a happy birthday to our guy, Craig Bowler Jack.
Yes, sir. That's my man.
Oh, is it Bowler's birthday today?
Yeah.
Wow. Bowler's birthday today, man. And that guy, I love that guy. One, just because he's a good friend for years, but he's been a great mentor to me in this TV analyst stuff. Man, I lean on him, and yeah, I know he's made me better, but they don't come any better.
He's holding up
and
pretty.
Buckle up, Bolt.
He's holding up pretty good for 38 too.
Yeah, he is. As long as that knee doesn't go out, he's good.
Yeah, I know he's got that knee.
Well, go to BigTBaileyBasketball.com. That's BigTBaileyBasketball.com. So many great camps coming up this summer, and you need to check it out. If your kid wants to play, this is the best place to put him in some of these camps coming up, boy or girl, too. A lot of great opportunities. Thurl, you're the best, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Big T.
Enjoy that burger.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, thanks, guys. And just say, on the Father's Day, when dads need to go out and spend some time with their sons and daughters on the basketball court, great bonding experience, And so I hope to see everybody there. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
We'll send them over.
Thurl Bailey, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. See, even Thurl gets himself a fast food burger every now and then.
Right when we were talking about it, too. That's just a random coincidence.
I feel bad because that burger's just been sitting there for a while now, too. It's still going to be good.
I know.
The slushy, maybe not so much. That might be a problem.
I feel bad. That's 20-minute delay. Burger was just sitting there. Those tots aren't going to be as crisp.
No.
They'll still be good, though.
Oh, boy.
Enjoy, Big T.
You deserve it. All right, 128, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Unripe.
Guys are doing a hell of a job.
Pete Futek of College Football News joining us on the program. What's a successful couple of first seasons when you go into conference like that if you're BYU?
Win it, because the good guys are gone. Texas, I know, hasn't won squat in the last few years. Texas is gone. Oklahoma is gone. So what? If you're BYU and you're this program that has, especially at home, where you have this great home field advantage and you always seem to rise up and play well against the big guys, really your season comes down to beating Baylor or Oklahoma State? That's just not that bad. If you're BYU, look at this team coming back this year. It would be another 10-win season if everything breaks right. And then once you get into the Big 12, again, you're not going to the SEC West.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good,
the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Good, the bad, the ugly. But before we get to that, caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. It is the UNA Golf Major Giveaway, where Lloyd will assign you a golfer if you're caller number 12. If your golfer ends up winning the PGA Championship this week, you'll win the same brand of putter that he uses. So you got a Scotty Cameron guy, ends up winning, you're going to get a Scotty Cameron. There you go. It's that simple. 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. All right, Ann, it's time for the good, the bad, the ugly. We've been talking about Luca, but I got a stat line for you. Actually, this was also one of my goods. There's some video floating around of this. I thought you might find it interesting, but University of Arkansas was playing a home baseball game, and this guy was sitting at his seat and felt something kind of rustling under his seat. He reaches down, probably fortunate he didn't get bit, but there's a raccoon.
Oh, at the game?
At the game.
Let me see this.
And so the dude picks up the raccoon, man. And then security then comes and helps him.
That raccoon doesn't know what the heck. He was just in there eating like leftover popcorn under the seat.
But there's some video of the guy, and then of course as he's walking out, everybody wants to pose with selfies with him holding the raccoon as they're taking him raccoon out of the stadium.
You know, raccoon bites can be pretty nasty. We could have done without that. Really could have done without that. The raccoon bite can be really
nasty. I know that. And who knows what kind of diseases that thing's carrying.
The hell is that from?
Well, that would be you, but I don't remember what it's from.
I'm not so sure.
Lloyd, that's actually your hyena noise.
Well, don't play it when we're talking about a raccoon.
But it sounds like what a raccoon would sound like, too.
If I'm that, I think that raccoon is probably spitting out some of that. That's probably what he sounds like right now.
Wow, that's bad.
All right, so the good. Let's go back to Luka Doncic. How about this stat? Over the course of the seven-game series, Luka outscored fourth-place MVP Devin Booker 218-164. He out-rebounded 7-foot DeAndre Ayton 69-57 and out-assisted one of the greatest point guards ever play the game, Chris Paul, 49-40. Also, he had more steals than Defensive Player of the Year runner-up Mikal Bridges, 15-9.
Oh, man. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
That's putting in work for Luka.
Wow, he's so incredible, man.
And it seems like everything he does is in slow motion, but yet nobody can stop him.
Nothing seems overly explosive, does
yes.
it?
No.
It all just seems methodical, extremely thought out, intelligent, powerful.
Yeah.
Like I do feel like there's quite a bit of weight behind what he does. He's a big-bodied guy. Yeah. Is he 6'7"?
Yeah.
6'7 or so.
Probably list him at 230, 240, but he's probably 15 to 20 more than that.
245, 250 would be my guess.
Yeah.
He's a big body.
Like, I remember, and Lloyd, you probably remember this. Remember when, who was the European dude that played for the Bulls at the end of the Jordan era?
Kukoc?
Yeah, Tony Kukoc. I remember watching him play and being like, he looks slow, but nobody can guard him. Like, he's getting a shot up.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting a hand in his face.
Yeah.
But yet, he's just able to maneuver his way and through and find good looks.
Well, all three players that were up for the MVP award for the 2022 NBA season were European players.
Yeah.
All three. Embiid, Jokic, and Luka.
Yeah.
All European born. So, they're doing something right. And all of them have they're very unique and different what they do, but all of them are that deliberate delivery.
Yeah.
It's not that explosive, incredible play that we've seen from guards that are winning the MVP in the past. They're just intelligent basketball players that can hit a jump shot anywhere, that do play on both ends. They'll give you a defensive effort. They'll give you boards.
Yeah.
All three of them will give you boards. But yeah, I agree with you. Luka's not that guy, that image of leaving near the free throw line to get the ball to the rim.
I mean, there's a, and this, you know, obviously could be a bigger topic for a bigger day, but I do think that you're seeing when they sent over the Dream Team to Barcelona in 92 and the whole world got exposed to NBA basketball with Michael Jordan and Larry and Magic and all these guys on the same team. And I think it captured the imagination of a lot of people and a lot of kids. And you're seeing your first full generation of kids now, you know, that, that grew up in, you know, in European countries and all across the, that, that now had these guys posters on their wall that now had realized, oh, wait, I can play NBA basketball. I just don't have to play soccer. Like there were other alternatives for these kids. And now you're seeing some of these elite level athletes now make the transition. And now they're taking over the NBA. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we did on the Olympic scene with that starting in 92.
How old did you say Luke is?
Probably 22, 23.
So he was born post-90s?
Oh yeah. Like, I think he's 20, like 20? 98, 99, somewhere around there.
2000?
Yeah.
Oh, was he 98, 99?
Hold on. I'll find out for sure.
Okay. So he wasn't post-90s. It was in 90s. Fingers crossed that he was born in the 90s.
Yes, he was. Just barely. February 28, 99.
There you go. Going to be one of our last generations of the 90s to come into the NBA.
I remember when I was covering the Jazz, I was always a big fan of Matt Harpering and Rajah Bell because they were the two dudes that were in the league that were older than I was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't happen
anymore. And now there's none of those guys exist anymore.
Chris Paul?
No. Chris Paul's still way younger than us.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he 40?
I don't think he's 40 yet.
Oh, I thought he was 40 or...
Chris Paul is 37.
Oh.
Oh, so he's only a year older than you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what month was he born?
May 6, 1985.
He's a year and 4 months.
Oh.
So. I mean, how about this? Darren Williams is still just 37 years old. He's been out of the league, what, 6, 7 years?
Or more?
Or more.
Darren was out early.
Yeah. Darren had a lot of good years left and just... The NBA said, nope, we're done with you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, anybody that loves the NFL loves Earl Thomas, was one of the greats. He was arrested Friday night in Texas, days after a judge issued a warrant after he was accused of violating a protective order on multiple occasions. He's 33 years old, 7-time Pro Bowler. He was taken into custody about 8:30 in Texas. The police officers got a phone call from a bar patron who spotted Thomas in an establishment. So he called the police department, Scotty, and said, hey, because the warrant was out for his arrest. And they came into the bar and they arrested him. Allegedly contacted the woman multiple times. He could be hit with a third-degree felony. And that's a charge that can carry up to 10 years. And it was originally a protective order that was issued in 2021. Earl was ordered to only contact his ex using an approved co-parenting app. According to allegations, not only didn't the NFL use the NFL player use the app, but he also allegedly sent menacing messages threatening violence. So... He's broke that protective order, and it looks like he's in potentially a lot of trouble. But had the warrant issued, was arrested, because somebody in a bar saw him, called the officers and said, hey, he's here. And they came and got him.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody saw him. It was like, hey. But how would you even know that the warrant was out there? That's what I don't understand about the story.
Yeah.
Guy sitting in a bar and sees him and he's like,
look, I mean,
ooh, the warrant's out.
I mean, especially, yeah, that kind of a warrant too. I mean, if you got like, look, you know, dude's a, was like that couple that was the lovesick couple that hit the road.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows who they are and what they're out there for. You see, that says Earl Thomas, a football player. You don't know that he's, got a warrant out for him.
Somebody did.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, I don't know if I want to get to this ugly or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Should we talk about the Mexican pizza coming back?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, but that's not ugly.
It's not.
You know, I did make that a whole world news while you were gone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Let's bury this thing and let's talk about Phil.
All right, let's do it. There, time for your ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
So Phil Mickelson is not going to come back and defend his PGA championship. We found that Friday right after the show ended. He hasn't spoken to the media in nearly 3 months. He went dark. He issued a statement back in February, said that he regretted some of his words and that he needed time to work on the man that he would like to be. Missed the Masters for the first time in 28 years. And we know he just won that PGA Championship, and now we know that he is not going to be playing in this weekend's major. I don't know if he ends up showing up in London. I know that there was a contract on the table for him to play in June in this new LIV, this Saudi Arabian tournament.
Oh boy, if that's the first one he comes back and plays. Oh.
Country might write him off. I don't think he has an option in it.
Oh, man.
My hope is that Phil is out there telling Saudi Arabia, like, no, look, man, I can't even be seen with you anymore. This thing has gotten to big-time heights, and I would like to rebuild my name here in the country that I love and the country that loves me. And because we know he's never really liked the PGA tournament. You know, as soon as he jumped on Twitter, he was – not the PGA tournament, but the PGA Tour. As soon as he jumped on Twitter, he was taking shots every chance that he could get at so many different areas and facets of the tour.
What if the Saudi Arabians were like, oh, so you're not playing? He's like, I can't play. And then they're like, no, that's cool. You know, we'll still pay you. Do you want us to send that check to your home address? The home address we have on file here, Phil?
Let's read this back to you. You tell us if this is right.
If this is your home address.
Hey, have you seen Greg Norman talk about this too?
They offered him like, what, $100 million or something?
Yeah. And Greg Norman, he put his own foot in his mouth. And I don't know if he's facing the consequences that Phil faced. But he should, because Greg Norman put a similar foot in his mouth, but he's not as relevant as Phil. You know, is a current player.
Yeah, Greg's like, oh, we all make mistakes.
But Greg was like, well, before he said that, like, everything was on the up and up. I don't know why he said what he said. Oh, man. We put in so much time to make this new tour, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, guys, come to your senses. They kill people over there for their beliefs. Like, they beheaded public figures. Can we come to our senses and not back this tournament or this tour, please? I even saw that Jack Nicklaus came out and he was like, hey, they offered me some and I told them no.
like
the Golden Bears, like, nobody's asking me, but just so everybody knows.
Just putting it, making sure everybody knows.
I am not going to be messing around with that tour. Will Phil rebuild his name in this country? I think he will.
I think so. I think
he will.
He will.
He's a con man.
We'll all move on from it. Whoa. Wow.
He is a con man.
He is.
Not wrong.
All the way through his little fake little nods with the cap, tip of the caps to everybody. It's just he's very fake.
He's a con man. I do wonder some of the things he's involved with. I think that because what we see on the surface, you know how they say that when you get a DUI, you've probably driven drunk another whatever it is, 20 times or 50 times. So every time you get a DUI, you've driven drunk 50 times.
Yeah.
Like every time Phil's been caught on something, there's probably quite a few things that he's gotten away with.
Well, we got the insider trading. We got, come on, you got a laundry list of stuff going on here.
Oh, there's a lot. And this weird unpaid gambling debt story that continues to swirl. This could really go deep.
And that, you know, I don't know, maybe, well, I know, I'd probably shut up, but it's just like, Phil's like, hey, you know, I'm going to step away because I don't want people to start digging. Like, I already put my foot in the mouth here. I had this issue with the SEC here. Maybe if I just go away, people stop looking at me and not trying to dig into me because I really want to just disappear for a moment.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know who he is, right? And I could bring this up with you, Scotty. He's David Sims. You remember from Tin Cup?
Oh, yeah.
That's him. He's that guy. He's the guy that behind the scenes is like kicking dogs, but yep. In front of, you know, in front of the cameras, he's like, oh, a good guy.
But you do think he'll rebuild his name, huh? Well, I think the way to do it is remain quiet, keep your head down, shut your mouth. When you do come back, say sorry, play some good golf, and change who you are a little bit. If he does that, I think that – and by the way, people on the tour continue to defend him.
You know who defended him the other day was Charles Barkley. Not for what he said, but Barkley – I got to find the quote. But Barkley said, look, he goes, you go golf with Tiger – it's not fun. Like, Tiger's always, he doesn't joke around. He's not having fun. He goes, every time I go golf with Phil, we're laughing, we're having fun. He goes, I'm friends with both, because I'd rather golf with Phil because I know I'm going to have a good time. I golf with Tiger, it's not fun, because Tiger's all wound so tight all the time.
How do you think Tiger feels? Tiger's like, this guy just supported human rights crimes. And you're saying you'd rather
golf with... He was just saying who he'd rather be hang out with.
Yeah, but if you're Tiger, how are you going to take that? I'd be like, all right, Charles, well, I like golfing with Ernie more than you. Rather golf with Kenny than you.
Let's see here. Let me find the right...
If you could go golf with anybody off that TNT crew, who would you go golf with?
Oh, it'd be Charles. Shaq might be fun, too. Shaq's pretty generous, too. He'll probably pick up your round of golf and buy you a beverage at the turn, too. Here's his quote, though. He says, one of the reasons Phil has lasted so long is that he's had a joyful life. Tiger won a bunch of tournaments, but there's not much joy in it. Sure, Tiger is a better golfer. You're just in awe of his talent, but it's not fun to be around him. Everybody in his world is uptight and bleep afraid to say or do the wrong thing. Tiger has always acted like he's under siege. Give me an effing break. You're just a golfer, dude. When you're with Phil, you're guaranteed to have fun. He makes people feel good. Everybody around him is always smiling. That's a huge difference for me.
He kind of actually went at Tiger more than he was like supporting Phil.
Yeah.
So everybody's wound up tight. Nobody likes him. It sucks to golf with him. But anyway, so Phil's okay to golf.
Phil's fun.
I was going to try to make an argument on that crew, but yeah, Charles would be the one. All of us, right? Golfing with Charles. Didn't he get a DUI on a golf cart? Or was that Bill Murray?
A DUI on a golf cart.
Yeah, don't you remember that?
I don't remember that, but that's an awesome... I mean, it's not great, but...
I think it might have been Bill Murray. Got a DUI on a golf cart. I think it would be a blast to golf with Charles. Okay, let's say you could golf with either Tiger or Phil right now.
Oh, wow.
Because it'd be kind of cool to sit down and like talk to Phil and be like, so Phil, you support human rights crimes?
So you golf with Tiger. Tiger's not going to say a word to you the whole time. He's going to be in his cart.
No.
He's not going to say anything. He's going to give you the side eye when you're hitting putting for a snowman.
Uh-huh.
And
he's not going to go help you find your ball.
No, like... Like, you'll always have the story, I golfed with Tiger Woods, but let's be honest, that 2.5-3 hours are going to be pretty miserable.
You think Phil's different?
I think Phil will, at least, to Lloyd's point, Phil doesn't want you getting on Twitter and say, Phil Mickelson was a jerk. Phil wants you to get on Twitter and say, wow, Phil Mickelson was awesome. We joked, we laughed, he gave me a few tips, because, you know, Phil likes to tell everybody how smart he is. He'll give you a few little pointers here. I hate saying this, but I'd probably rather golf with Phil because he'd be putting on the image of trying to be everybody's buddy.
Yep.
In reality, in his mind, he's thinking, this schlub, what a waste of my time. This is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to say all the right things.
He's a con artist.
Yes. All right. Whole World News next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. We're joined now by Mark Manson, UVU men's basketball coach.
What is your assessment of the state of college basketball?
There are a lot of frontiers and a lot of pioneering things that are happening right now in college basketball. When the best players now go into the portal, they can expect $300,000 plus, $400,000 plus, maybe $500,000. When it's all said and done, I think it's a great thing for the players. Now, there are some issues. For example, there's no salary cap. A school like Duke, a school like UCLA, University of Texas, theoretically, these schools can be paying millions and millions of dollars. In the NBA, you can put a player under contract. In college basketball, it's basically a one-year deal every single year for your team. And so at some point, we've got to figure out how to address that, because it's just free agency every spring, and it's wild.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, by the way, before we get to Whole World News, Hands, I know you're not baseball guy, but there's some big moments coming up here this week for the Bees, because Albuquerque is in town. And unless things have changed, and Lloyd, let me know if I'm off base on this, but on a rehab assignment, Chris Bryant is going to be in town. Playing for Albuquerque, former NL MVP.
Wow.
Part of the Cubs, now with the Rockies. And so coming up, I believe his first game will be on Tuesday. Probably he'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday. And so you can get your tickets right now at slbs.com. And they've got a family night coming up tomorrow where you can get four tickets for $20 and see one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
That's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Get out there and enjoy the park.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Whole World News.
Hey, just a couple of things. And I've got this story, but I wanted to just ask you really quick. So is your water on the grass?
Not yet. No, they have not sent it down yet. I'm on secondary water and they haven't
opened it up.
And by the way, they sent a letter, really nasty one too, that said you can only water once a week and for like 20 minutes a station. Yeah.
Your lawn's going to die.
Yeah.
Can you make it on that?
We're going to find out. I'm not thrilled about it, but you know, whatever we got to do.
That sounds miserable.
Yes.
Lloyd, did you turn your sprinklers on yet?
No.
So I think I would have turned mine on, but I had to rip up sprinklers just building parents' house in that back area. So sprinklers, my guy Joey, my sprinkler guy Joey's getting it all fixed up.
Yeah.
So should be able to turn it on, but I guess I don't know. Like, can you make it? Can we go another? Because it's supposed to be, what, 75, 80 today?
If temperatures like what we saw yesterday, if they continue for another week or so, yeah, you're going to have to get them on.
You got to get a little water on it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to dry it out pretty quick.
Because I have not, obviously, I haven't had the ability to turn on sprinklers, and I'm pretty medium brownish.
Oh, yeah.
But usually we have water going by now, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, usually I think mine usually comes in end of April, but they're holding off on that Weber water. So
I know we're fertilized, and I'm hoping to keep that lawn okay. But your lawn looks good because you I guess Bountiful got some late snow.
Yeah, we got a lot of late snow and some late rain, and so we're great right now. But that'll change pretty quickly if I'm not able to irrigate like I normally do.
You doing a garden this year, Lloyd?
We're doing some garden boxes. Yeah, not like the full garden, like the normal thing. We're just doing some boxes.
Who is this voice sound like?
Oh, jeez.
I got it in my head. I just can't place it. Lloyd's been a little under the weather.
I'm done.
A certain reporter that asks questions. Did I nail it?
Yeah, that's
who it is.
That's,
huh?
That's what it was.
And then the other thing I was going to talk to you about. So I did a pork butt over the weekend.
Yeah.
21 hours total.
Whoa.
So 9 hours smoking.
How big was that butt?
Rested for 12 hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I saw somebody talking about the rest period on a, yeah. on a pork butt or a brisket, and they said if you could take it to 10 or 12 hours in a cooler, wrapped in with a towel,
yeah.
you get a completely different texture on your meat. I am here to report, after having done it, 9 hours on the smoker and 12-hour rest, it's the best pork I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I did the basic pork butt rub. I didn't do any joiner, just a pork butt rub.
Yeah, you don't need that.
And I did the butter and brown sugar at the wrap.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It wasn't too mushy after sitting for that long?
No, it was.
And was it wrapped in foil the whole time too?
After it hit 160.
Okay, but during the rest, it was wrapped the whole time?
Wrapped the whole time.
Okay.
During the rest. And it's the best pork that I've had.
No kidding.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah, nailed it. So if you're having a hard time getting your pork butt to be really moist and really soft, two things. Make sure you're taking it to the proper temperature. One thing you taught me was don't look at the temperature.
Let do the probe. Gauge.
Yeah. Yep. When you push the gauge into the meat, if it doesn't just go in soft and you kind of feel no restriction, then you need to keep letting it go. Even if you're at 190.
For sure.
Or 192 or 195, you know, you can take that pork butt to 200, 205, yeah. and it'll soften things up. But then let it just rest. Let it sit and rest. Because even that middle ball part that is sometimes bound up and really tightly wound, even that released, and it felt like the money meat.
Yeah. Wow.
It actually had the same texture, the same consistency and flavor as the money meat. So turned out. And then we just did we did pulled pork tacos. So I just do a corn shell. I used to do a corn shell and do a little mini quesadilla, but then it was too much corn shell. So now I do a corn shell and I put some cheese on it, let that melt. And then I do sauteed onion and sauteed jalapeno.
Woo!
I don't saw the two together. I do them individually. I saute the jalapeno.
Not everybody wants them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. And saute the onion. And I do a really light saute on the onion. And so you put a little bit of that on there with the pulled pork, a little bit of cilantro, a little bit of sour cream, and then I do a creamy chipotle sauce
nice.
On that. And that, to me, is about the best pulled pork taco you're going to get.
Wow. By the way, yeah, spot on the rest. And that's why, like, because pulled pork is, well, any real barbecue you do, outside of ribs, I can time out my ribs pretty well
yeah.
to know when they're going to be done. But, like, brisket and pulled pork or pork butt, like, the meat is going to tell you when it's done. Like, you can't really schedule.
Yeah.
So I'm a big proponent of do it a day before or 10 to 12 hours before, you know, shoot for that time to be done. And then, yeah, just let it sit. It's yeah. fine. And if you're worried about the temperature, well, then open up your oven and set it as low as it goes, which is usually like 170, 175, and slide it in there, leave the door open a little yep. bit. It's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think with my briskets now, I'll probably throw it on at 9 o'clock in the morning, let it go through the day, probably get it off somewhere around 8 o'clock in the evening,
yeah.
wrap it, and let it sit until noon or 2 or 4 the next day, and let it rest.
Yeah.
That work?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
'Cause 100%. So one thing I haven't done with a brisket yet is really give it the yeah. delayed time.
I try to at least give like 2 or 3 hours on a brisket, but I think I've heard people go like 12 hours on a rest.
There's people that swear by
yeah.
the rest on the brisket being...
I'm always too hungry. I'm like, let's go.
I know. So I got to yeah. do the brisket the night before and then let it rest.
Telling you though, you got to separate that point and do some burn ends. Those burn ends will change your life.
After the cook.
Yeah. Well, I do it. Yeah. When it gets to temperature, but before the rest. So I'll take my flat, wrap it up, and I'll rest my flat.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll cube up my my point and do burn ends. And those are, we usually eat those while we're waiting for the flat to get done. But I don't know. That's what's worked for us.
Do the burnt ends for one meal.
Yeah.
The burnt ends on a point feed two.
Yeah.
Me and Rock. I found that it feeds two.
Yeah.
And we eat through those burnt ends. And I lie to everybody and tell them that The good stuff is coming for
yes,
you.
Yes, I did this for you guys. You don't want any of this.
We're suffering through yes. this. These are the burnt ends, just so you understand the burnt ends.
It's burnt for a reason. I screwed it up. It's awful.
So people are fine not watering right now, for the most part.
For the most part, but yeah, but that's going to change here pretty quick.
20 minutes per station one time a week.
Yeah.
Whew. I am on culinary. And the prices are getting hard to meet every month.
Wow.
With watering. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I did reduce my lawn quite a bit with this construction.
Yeah.
I'm not going to – there's a lot of lawn I'm taking out. I'm going to do a dryscape.
A little zero-scape?
Yeah. I wonder how many people are going to that dryscape.
Oh, man. It's just out of principle. I know we're supposed to look at it, but out of principle, I just can't do it.
It's really hard because it adds heat around the house.
Yeah, yeah. That's like a good point. The rocks and all that stuff.
The grass and trees make that house area feel cool and welcoming.
Get the sun beating down on decorative rocks and bleh. I know we're supposed to do it. I get
it. Might as well move to St. George.
I know. All right. That's Whole World News brought to you by Mortgage Mike and City Creek Mortgage. Go to citycreekmortgage.com or call 801-900-HOME, H-O-M-E. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Coming up next, Hans, I think on this show we've been kind of talking about this, but we have an athletic director who's pretty much on record saying there needs to be a separation in football with the haves and the have-nots. We'll play that for you coming up next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.